Our first scripture lesson comes from Luke's Gospel, right up front in the beginning of the Gospel, and it's one of those classic Advent texts, and yet I was surprised to learn yet again this week that this text actually doesn't show up in the lectionary, which is surprising to me because it is so much a part of Advent. Let us listen for God's Word. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. And our second verse is much shorter. In fact, if you ever want to memorize a verse of Scripture, this would be a good place to start. From Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you have ever been around small children, you know how good they are at mimicking what they hear. Most adults have had the uncomfortable experience of hearing their own words come out of a toddler's mouth and realizing just how inappropriate they sound. Although we may have become desensitized to the impact of certain words or phrases and disconnected from their meaning, hearing a sweet angelic voice swear or utter some other adult language can be a rude awakening and a reminder to us of what the words really mean. When our kids were little, I remember that one of the forbidden phrases in our house was, "Shut up." I think it was Chip's grandmother who, upon hearing those words, used to shake her head and say, "That's such an ugly word." And while it's actually two words, she was right. It is an ugly way to ask someone to be quiet. It's controlling and condescending, and it certainly cuts off further communication. What are some other ways that we could say something similar? The English language is full of substitutes. Be quiet. Keep it down. Shh. Cut the chatter. Stop talking. Hush. Pipe down. Button up. Zip it. Put a sock or a cork in it. Let's use our indoor voices. Please try to contain yourself. Shut your mouth, your trap, your gob. Children should be seen and not heard. Would you please moderate your voice? Or how about just plain silence? Because that's the point of all of them, right? To create some peace and quiet, to make space for listening or a different kind of conversation, to find some silence either within or without, so that we can take a break from all the noise around us, or be more attentive to another's voice, an inner voice, or even the voice of God. Today's scripture lesson is God's way of telling Zechariah, politely but very forcefully, to shut up, to be quiet and listen, to become more aware of what God is doing in his life and in the world around him. Now, Zechariah was a priest. He had been a priest his whole life. He was born into a priestly family. He married the daughter of a priest, and he devoted his entire life to the duties of the priesthood. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were the model of a priestly couple. Luke tells us that they were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. If anyone should be able to hear God's voice, you would think Zechariah would be it. Now, there was only one thing, though, that marred their perfect existence, that made their family photos incomplete. They had no children, and they likely never would, for Elizabeth was barren. In that time, to be barren was a disgrace, especially for the woman, and a sign of God's disfavor. Although Zechariah and Elizabeth were obedient and devoted servants of God, their childlessness was a constant heartache to them both. As our scripture lesson begins, it was time for Zechariah's order of priests to take their turn serving in the temple in Jerusalem. Each of the 24 priestly orders was responsible for temple duty twice a year. And within each order, lots were cast to assign the different jobs. This time, Zechariah was chosen to offer incense in the sanctuary, a tremendous honor for a priest coming once in a lifetime, if ever. So Zechariah traveled all the way to Jerusalem from his home in the hill country. His job was to enter the sanctuary and burn incense as an offering to God. Meanwhile, many people would wait outside praying, and it was believed that the incense would carry their prayers up to God and would perfume them as they rose, making them even more fragrant and appealing to God. Then, when Zechariah was finished, he would come out of the temple and offer a priestly benediction over the people. It was a big deal, a special holy task, and Zechariah was probably pretty nervous as he went into the temple that day. Everything was going just fine and according to plan. Zechariah was in the inner sanctuary. The candle lighter had lit. The incense was burning when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to him. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah," the angel said, "for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure Zechariah heard too much past. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son." All those careful instructions about how to raise the child in the Nazarite tradition, all those marvelous prophecies about how this child would have the spirit and power of Elijah, bringing the people back to God, making them ready to meet the Lord. It may as well have been a weather forecast for all the attention that Zechariah gave it. Because the first words out of Zechariah's mouth were, "What? Wait a minute, did you say we're going to have a baby? How can this be? How will I know that it's true?" Aren't we all guilty of this at times? We stop listening after the first thing that catches our attention or provokes a reaction in us. Instead of hearing the other person out, we are busy constructing our response in our own heads. And then we're just biding our time until the other person is done speaking so we can talk, so we can react or object, ask our question, or make our point, or refute theirs. As Stephen Covey once said, most people do not listen with the intent to hear or understand. They listen with the intent to reply. How many misunderstandings, arguments, and hurt feelings could be avoided if only we would just slow down and listen to each other, to give each other the respect and the space and time to complete our thoughts and be heard. How often we forget what ancient Greek philosopher Diogenes observed so long ago: we have two ears and one tongue, so that we would listen more and talk less. Or as another anonymous sage once said, God gave us mouths that close, but ears that don't. Maybe that should tell us something. This reminds me of the old nursery rhyme about the wise old owl. A wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why aren't we all like that wise old bird? Perhaps we would do well to pray more often the famous line from the prayer of St. Francis: grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. What do we miss when we do not listen to one another, to God, to ourselves, or to the silence? What else might Zechariah have heard and understood if he had kept listening to the rest of what Gabriel had to say? But alas, he didn't. So Gabriel had to pull himself up to the full height of his majestic stature, turn up his angel luster a little brighter, deepen his voice to a James Earl Jones-like timbre as he bellowed, "Silence! Don't you know who I am, Zechariah? I am Gabriel. I'm here on God's behalf. God sent me to you to bring you this good news. Neither I nor God need a lesson in how old you and Elizabeth are. We know." That's the beauty of it. God has heard your prayers and answered them. But because you did not believe my words, you will be denied the power of words until all that I have told you has come to pass. God basically gave Zechariah a verbal time out. For the next 9 months, Zechariah would not be able to speak, so that instead he could listen to the good news of what God was about to do through the birth of Zechariah's son, John, who in turn would proclaim the good news of the birth of God's son, Jesus Christ. Zechariah needed to put his own words on hold so that he could better listen to God's word. It's almost as though Zechariah had become so accustomed to the holy words of his priestly work that they didn't mean anything to him anymore. He'd become so attuned to the messages of the world around him that he could no longer hear God's voice speaking, could no longer see God's presence right in front of him, could no longer hope and trust in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and in God's miraculous, surprising, saving power. In essence, Gabriel's message to Zechariah was the same message as we heard in Psalm 46. Be still and know that God is God. And this God is about to do something surprising, amazing, transforming, wonderful. The season of Advent is God's holy hush. Not a soft, gentle hush like you might use when quieting a fussy baby, but rather a fierce and forceful hush up. Be still and know. Silence. Advent is a time to cut the chatter and pay attention, to turn down the volume on the rest of our lives so that we can be more attuned to God's voice, God's presence, God's Spirit on the move in us and around us, surprising us with good news and hope and joy. Advent is a time of listening and looking, waiting and watching for the coming of Jesus Christ, not just the baby in the manger, but the mighty Savior who promised to return to us one day, bringing his kingdom of love and power, justice and peace to reign over the whole world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, joy lives on silence and on incomprehensibility. God has good news for you and for me, news which will bring us great joy and gladness. But we must shut our mouths long enough to hear it. We must still our spirits long enough to notice it. We must open our hearts long enough to receive it. Perhaps it is more than just a coincidence that the word listen is spelled with the exact same letters as the word silent. Only in the silence of our hearts and minds can we begin to listen, to experience and appreciate the unfathomable mystery that is God. Perhaps that is why Jesus was born on a silent night, a holy night, so long ago in Bethlehem. This Advent, as we look and listen, as we watch and wait, as we search for the peace and joy and salvation found on that silent night, may we hear God's holy hush. And may we be still and know not only that God is God, but that God is Emmanuel, God with us, for today and always. Amen.